This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israeli ground troops for the first time today pushing further into areas of central Gaza City where several aid groups are based. It comes after more than 70 Palestinians were killed in the latest attempt trying to reach aid sites. Israel also carried out strikes hitting Gaza's only Catholic church last week, along with strikes on Syria's capital. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says President Trump was surprised by both.
He was caught off guard by the bombing in Syria and also the bombing of a Catholic church in Gaza, which, as you know, I addressed at my briefing last week. And in both accounts, the president quickly called the prime minister to rectify those situations.
The White House still pushing for a ceasefire deal. A Canadian father pleaded not guilty to murder in the death of his 9-year-old daughter. Police in upstate New York say Luciano Fratolin and his daughter Melina were driving from New York City to Montreal when they stopped in the Lake George area, and he called police faking her kidnapping. Authorities found her body in a shallow grave. On Wall Street, stocks ending mixed for the day. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. City officials will continue hearings for property owners who are objecting to their property assessments today. According to city documents, over 30 different property owners are contesting their assessments. It's not just residential homeowners either. Businesses are also on the schedule for objection hearings during the 4-day process. On Thursday, the Citizens Board of Review went over the procedure for contesting real property assessments ahead of the objection hearings, which are scheduled to wrap up on Tuesday. The La Crosse County Board approved a measure to accept $350,000 in state grant money for the Pathways Home Program. The measure, which was previously also approved by the La Crosse Common Council, will provide funding to hire an additional social worker and help with housing assistance, treatment plans, and supplies. Funding from the grant runs through 2027. To date, the Pathways Home Program has aided in housing over 150 people, in addition to providing other services for people who are experiencing homelessness. The annual Wisconsin Football Coaches Association All-Star Games were held in Oshkosh this past weekend. The event, which brings in the top senior high school football players from around the state, is in its 49th year. Since 2008, the players, coaches, and organizers have raised money for Children's Wisconsin. This year's fundraising topped $350,000. On the field, it was a sweep for the North All-Stars this weekend as they defeated the South in the 8-player, small school, and large school games. One more seasonally warm day before a heat wave begins. Highs will be in the low 80s across western Wisconsin today with sunny skies. The temperature rises tomorrow with highs around 90 in the Cooley region. Wednesday will be the hottest day of the week with highs well into the 90s and heat index values in the triple digits. Storm chances return towards the end of the week while high temperatures stay in the mid to upper 80s across the region. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's the Brewers and the Mariners. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers landing in Seattle last night. They open a 3-game set tonight against the Mariners. The Brewers, the hottest team in baseball. They've won 10 in a row. They beat the Dodgers yesterday 6-5 to complete a 3-game sweep in L.A. Now the Dodgers get media coverage from Los Angeles and networks in Japan. A reporter asked Pat Murphy, how do you beat a World Series team with Shohei Ohtani, Clayton Kershaw, with guys like Isaac Collins or Caleb Durbin?
It's a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of. No disrespect to great fans of Japan baseball, but they can't name 5 players in our lineup. They can't name 2 in today's lineup. And that's just a credit to hungry players. And, you know, the Dodgers are running into tough luck and they're not playing their best baseball, and they'll get back on track and be a juggernaut that they are. But, you know, I'm still proud of our club and what they did and, you know, how they competed in big situations. And, yeah, you know, a bunch of average Joes.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms, warm and muggy with lows in the low 70s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, scattered storms around, humid with highs in the upper 80s. Partly sunny, more heat and humidity Wednesday, high mid-90s, a few storms. Right now it's 80.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes. Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome director-producer John Roach at Max Inc. Radio's Rocker joins me in studio for some Atwood Fest chat. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Actually, Maggie's not here. Maggie's up north. She's still camping, and I hope she's having a nice time on this beautiful day. I'm Matt Rothschild subbing in for Maggie, along with Angela Lang from Block, who is usually my co-guest host. We like doing this together. Angela, how are you doing?
I can't complain. Thanks for having me again. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this all weekend. And same. I'm excited to say we have an in-studio guest right now. His name is the Reverend David Cooper. For folks in Madison, you may know him as Chief Cooper because he was police chief here for many years during the Soglin era, or one of the Soglin eras anyway. Reverend Cooper, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here this evening, and hello to you.
Yeah, Angela's...
Angela out here.
Angela's a terrific activist and a radio talent. So we are interviewing the Reverend Cooper now, Angela, because he has decided himself, and I give him credit for taking the initiative, to announce a rally, a faith-based protest on August 2nd in Madison. So, David Cooper, tell us about that.
Well, this is somewhat of a long story. I'll just shorten it as best I can. I got together in my kind of semi-retirement. I still help out at various Episcopal churches around the diocese here, but I've been attending at Holy Wisdom Monastery just outside of Madison here in Middleton area, a place that I've been associated with for over 50 years. In fact, our first police training academy was held out at then St. Benedict Center. And throughout my years in having my staff take retreats, we always went out there for those department retreats, which were really, really, it's a great place.
It is. You know,
very spiritual.
We did a little sanctuary work back in the 80s there at Holy Wisdom. So.
Yes, yes. So those of us who attend the Sunday Assembly, which is a group of about 100 and some people, mainly older, I always say it, but we're white from the front and gray from the back. Mm-hmm. But we have certainly tried through the years to have open doors. They're not under the Diocese of Madison, so they're a separate Benedictine group, of which I'm also an oblate. And we started thinking about, you know, we need to make a stand. So we've got Lutherans among us that said, well, we've got Bonhoeffer and we've got Martin Niemöller, who talked about, you know, there's nobody left when they came for us. So let's try to have sort of a confessing statement. And that became Here We Stand. And then the four other people, kind of semi-retired clergy, also academics and teachers, a group of five. People say, well, what shall we call the group? And I said, jokingly, of course, well, let's be the Gang of Five, which will recall us to Maoist days, right? Those of us who are somewhat more aged would remember that. So we brought this and started discussing this and with a lot of input. And eventually, over the course of two Sundays after worship, we achieved a Quaker-like consensus for this document, and which was a great achievement. I said, you know, herding cats is difficult, but herding real smart cats is really more than difficult. And these are very smart cats. So in our frustration about what to do next, they said, well, you got to get this out. And so press conference, I said, something to me said, you know, talking heads don't do it. We've got to have something. And we're meeting with some other church leaders and kind of like, well, we really should have a newsletter and maybe we should have some workshops on Christian nationalism and other things that our general position came to seek to, you know, resist government cruelty, covering a whole batch of issues there. So in my frustration, I was walking out to the car, and one of my colleagues, I said, we've got to do something. And he said, well, Dave, it looks like you're just going to have to take up your cross. And I got in my car, and I'm driving home. I said, oh my gosh. I called my friend. We went down to Menards Lumber and got two huge 8-foot by 6-inch posts, and we made this cross, and it weighs 250 pounds.
Well, that's gonna be a lot to carry on. Well, and they said, on August 2nd.
So everybody said, well, who's gonna carry this cross? And I, it was designed so that I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. So we're gonna have to have some help. Mm. And then that kind of rolled out. Well, what would that look like? And then I was, I tend to be very impatient. Let's get this going. So we finally negotiated that we'd have a couple of weeks and we'd talk about this and kind of where we are right now, where we have invited most all of the various interfaith religious leaders around Madison and some of the key pastors in our area. And we understand that it's difficult. I mean, for Jewish people, it's the Sabbath. It's a Saturday. So we just ask them to pray for us. And should they do something, we would like to be a participant there, perhaps maybe using another symbol would be the cross of David or the Star of David. That would be something we could do.
And the event, just to clarify, is August 2nd, 11 o'clock, starting at Library Mall, right? And yep. Marching up to the Capitol?
Right down the State Lake, and we're gonna drag that cross up there. And they say, well, what if we don't have enough people? And I said, well, we'll just have to stop, rest, and ask some people on the sidewalk, would they come and help us carry it a few more feet? And we'll eventually, you know, get it up to the Capitol. And then the idea came that also that this would be a silent march. We would just sort of define ourselves from people who say, oh, are those Christian nationalists there? And I would hope that the clergy there would be wearing, you know, vestments and stoles. So we know that usually when the Proud Boys took the cross, they didn't have clergy around helping carry it. So we think it's a visual event that people will remember. And we're talking about things like militarism. We're talking about damage to our climate. We're talking about policies that simply hurt other people, and we are also, you know, talking about this, the whole business about the dismantling step by step of our democracy.
I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang here. We're speaking with Chief David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper. People know him here in Madison. He's always been a bit of a spiritual leader, even when he was police chief. And he's now leading this rally in Madison on August 2nd, this faith-based rally.
It resists the policies that harm immigrants, the poor, and the vulnerable, and war, militarism, and the use of violence, and resisting Christian nationalism and authoritarianism and the destruction of our environment, and affirming really great things like truth, democracy, human dignity, world peace, care for the earth. So it's quite a platform. You're getting a little bit of blowback because of the use of the cross. Do you want to counter that?
Yeah, it's difficult because most people say when they see the cross, they're thinking Christian nationalists. And I have to admit that since 2020, I mean, I see the flag, I wonder what that's about. So to use a different symbol that has been, you know, part of Christianity for 2,000 years is going to be really difficult. So what we've tried to do, and I've tried to explain this thing, is you know, the words of Jesus in the gospel talks about, you know, take up your cross and follow me. So we're thinking about, well, what is an individual's cross? What is it? And the way I try to define this, this is your set of everything that's important to you, what you believe in, what you're willing to stand up for, what you're willing to suffer for. And I think I hope we all have that value set that, you know, sort of on this we stand and I don't retreat. We used to talk about that in the police department a lot, about what's important, what are we standing up for? You know, what is it that we're not going to retreat from, and what is it that we're going to stand our ground? And so we're trying to seize the cross back and say, look, it's our cross. You want to use it, fine, but this is not what it's all about. You know, it's all about taking care of the vulnerable people, the least among us. You know, it's about what Jesus talked about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, or the great parable about the king. And he said, the king said, well, where, you know, did you take care of me when I was sick, when I was tired, when I was in prison, when I needed help? When was it? And then the king says, well, as you've done to the least of these in my kingdom, you've done to me. So it's kind of a golden rule thing, that which all the world's religions have, one form or another of the golden rule. That would be something we could always come together, no matter what the faith is, and they all say, don't do to others as you would not have them do unto you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I think there's a common set. And when we take that common set of all the world's religions, that thing that we call the golden rule, and apply it to what's going on in Washington, it's not right. It's not normal. Something's wrong. And then we're quiet. I don't know the last time I ever saw a bunch of Christians coming together that are progressive. It's generally the more conservative people on issues of abortion or about trans issues or gay issues or something. But it's really not about the fundamental principles of what it is you believe. Who are you?
Yeah, I know there was a little bit of progressive Christian. There was a movement during the LGBT rights movement, during the women's rights movement, certainly during the civil rights movement. You had Martin Luther King marching with Abraham Joshua Heschel and yes. Religious leaders across the board. And I'm excited about this rally you have, David Cooper, on August 2nd in Madison at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol to talk about the things that are so out of whack right now with the Trump administration. So scary, frankly.
Fear.
Scary also with the rise of white nationalism. And so it's really important for people to get out and join this protest if you can, if you're in the Madison area, on August 2nd. It's 11 o'clock there at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol. David Cooper is the former police chief here in Madison. He is an Episcopal reverend and a spiritual leader here in Madison. And we're delighted to have him in the studio here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got a commercial break coming up, David. I want you to hang around because I also want your view of what happened in L.A. with the National Guard and with the Marines, who I just understand are leaving L.A. today. It's about time. But you wrote a whole book on this, and you practice it when you were a chief. I want to get your sense about what's happening there. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang and Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison. We're talking about his rally coming up on August 2nd and about policing in America right now. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with my co-host, Angela Lang. We have our guest, David Cooper, in studio. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're broadcast all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we do have a caller. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Troy, what you got?
Hello. Hello, Reverend and Matt and Angela. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Doing- How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thank you. This is amazing. I can't believe you're getting flack about this because these Trumpsters bring out the flag and they bring out their religion all the time, you know, like they're following it. And it's about time we take back the flag, and it's about time we take back the cross. And I'm so glad that you're doing this. And if you're looking for volunteers, I will come and help you carry this cross.
Oh, good. Check in with me a little bit before 11 o'clock, Saturday, August 2nd. Okay. Glad to
meet you there.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Troy,
sir.
Thanks so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Angela, you had a question for the chief.
Yeah, and I think this kind of like builds on what we were talking about before the break a little bit, and especially with Troy's statements, and just curious, like, your thoughts of the role of the faith community, especially right now when people think of, you know, the far right Christian extremists and what have you, and why it is important to kind of reclaim the cross. What do you think is the role of the faith community right now?
Well, I've come from the Episcopal tradition. I was away from it a good part of my life, but I think the things that my grandmother taught me stayed with me these years, and about people and caring for people. So I think that the most important thing is that the role of a faith-based person is to stand on the edges of the city and make commentary about what the city is doing, kind of like the role of Old Testament prophets. Our job is to say, look, that's wrong. We don't want to be part of government. We don't want to be running government like many of the nationalists want to do. We believe strongly in the separation of church and state, and we would expect that the government operates in a fair and ethical manner consistent with our Constitution and our rule of law. And, you know, that is not happening now. So I think we must first of all resist and speak strongly and then collaborate with other faith groups so that there can be a movement one day within this country that this is right and this is wrong. When I look at my early days of watching the movement on the right, you know, back in the 70s, the anti-abortion people never stopped. Never stopped. It was every single day, month after month, year after year, and that's how Roe v. Wade got overturned. They never quit. So I wonder what would happen if we, who say that we believe in these strong values, were just as vocal and just as organized out there, but there was nothing stopping them whatsoever. So we just sort of, well, government's kind of doing all right now, so we'll just be quiet. And I was also mentioning to Matt during the break that I think what happened is I think a lot of clergy have been beaten down, and they got beaten down during COVID when they actually had severe disagreements within their parishes about whether or not they should abide by national health regulations, whether they should be supporting vaccination, whether or not they should support masking, whether or not they're going to go to online services to try to keep people distant, that they got beaten up pretty bad about that. I heard some real horror stories of what went on within so-called our nice Christian parishes when it came to this. And that divide, I think, is still felt today. And the fear. The fear is out there. I think the fear permeates this entire community. And that's what really started the On This We Stand or Here We Stand statement was, there's a lot of fear out there. And we don't realize it, but we're all afraid to move because we've seen what happens to people when they speak out. You know, they get mocked, like Bishop Buddy was when she asked the president to care for people who are in need.
That was a courageous thing she did.
And it's also happened to my presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, who said, he said, the church of the presidents, of which the Episcopal church was for many, many years, now must be the church of the resistance. And that's going to be a big change for a lot of white-collar Episcopalians in my crowd.
Yeah, I imagine there's some anxiety being produced with a statement like that and some pushback. We've been speaking here with David Cooper, who's former police chief here. He's a reverend. He is organizing a rally on August 2nd at 11 a.m. At Library Mall in Madison, marching with a big cross up to the Capitol to reclaim the cross, to denounce Trump's cruel policies across the board, especially against immigrants, the poor, and the vulnerable, and against Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, and also destroying the environment. Everybody is invited. I feel invited, even though I'm non-Christian. The chief asked me a month ago to join it, and I signed on right away. And so everyone is invited. The phone number here after the break, you can chime in, 855-752-4842, because I'm going to keep the chief here after the break. I do want his views also on the horrible ICE and Marine policing, in quotes, that's been going on in L.A. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela and I and the chief will be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A bill has been introduced that would fund a program discontinued by Republicans who wrote the state budget that aims to help veterans in need of housing. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Three Northeast Wisconsin legislators have introduced a bill to restore $1.9 million to the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. The VHRP operates three short-term housing facilities across the state in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove. They provide temporary housing, job training, and resources to veterans facing homelessness. While Governor Tony Evers did add almost $2 million to his biennial budget proposal to keep funding all three sites, the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee removed it. The JFC's failure to fund the VHRP will force the centers in Chippewa Falls and the Greater Green Bay area to close. A bill introduced by Senator Jamie Wall of Green Bay, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, and Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner of Green Bay would restore that funding to the budget and save the locations in Chippewa Falls and Bellevue. Rivera Wagner said veterans deserve better. Quote, in the face of federal cuts that just passed in Congress, it's disrespectful to leave those who have served our country out in the cold at a time where they have the most need. The legislature will reconvene in session this fall. In the meantime, the Chippewa Falls and Bellevue locations of VHRP will close on September 30th. Veterans residing at those locations will be offered alternative placement options and will continue to receive assistance through supportive services. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
All three facilities are currently providing all services, but the two set to close, including Chippewa Falls here in western Wisconsin, will stop taking applications later this summer.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the Kiss Cam couple is still reeling from the traumatic outing at a Coldplay concert last week. According to TMZ, Coldplay frontman Chris Martin is mortified that the couple were exposed thanks to him. Astronomer CEO Andy Byron was seen canoodling with the head of his HR department, Kristen Cabot. They probably figured it was safe to go into a crowd of 65,000 people to check out Coldplay's record-breaking Music of the Spheres tour that actually started back in 2022, when Byron and Cabot were probably still just flirting. Many think Byron will resign or be forced out of his position, and as for Cabot, if she remains in HR, she'll have to get used to people laughing when they're called into her office to be scolded. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers and storms, warm and muggy with lows in the low 70s. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, scattered storms around, humid with highs in the upper 80s. Partly sunny, more heat and humidity Wednesday, high mid-90s, a few storms. Right now it's 80.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. An important topic, the increase in death by suicide by Wisconsin's elderly. Folks from Wisconsin Watch will join us and discuss. Be here.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild sitting in for Maggie, as is Angela Lang, my co-host today. Angela likes to join me when I invite her. I'm glad she does, because we like kind of pursuing this conversation about where our democracy is. That's the conversation we have every time we're on, Angela,
always.
Isn't it?
Yep, always.
And you can join the conversation, too, at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We have a caller. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what you got for us?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, you may have not heard that I got a clear cancer screening a while back.
That's great. I'm really happy for you. That's tremendous news.
So I'm at the 6-month screening thing now. But it bears in mind one to think that Roger Williams was actually advocating for separation of church and state back in the mid 17th century. That he didn't think there should be any coercion involved in faith. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm wearing a John Fugelsang slogan T-shirt that ends up with, that talks about John Jesus as being a brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jew who was the ultimate woke personality from history. I mean, that his main thing was we're supposed to be taking care of one another rather than just ignoring our brothers and sisters. Because I can't imagine how many Christians there are out there now that are not condemning the alligator at Auschwitz that's going down in Florida.
Yeah,
I'll close with that.
Well, great call, Mark, and thanks as always for your thoughtful calls. I'm going to let Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, respond to that. He is calling on everyone to join him on August 2nd here in Madison at 11 a.m. in Library Mall, marching up with a big wooden cross to the Capitol to protest this terror that Donald Trump is imposing on the weak and vulnerable.
Yeah, well, not by myself. I'm part of a team of four other here that have helped pull this together. But even the five of us, given our ages, we couldn't carry it up. So we depend on help. But yeah, I mean. Why do those people in Europe get on that rickety those ships and go through all that hardship to come over here to this new country? I mean, they were persecuted. They know what the state can do, and when state and religion gets together, they knew exactly, and that's why we have the Constitution we have, and within that Constitution sits those Bill of Rights, which are very clear, at least to most of us, that we don't want a theocracy. Well, we want a democracy, and we need to stop it from being dismantled. And that's going on as we speak. So, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, this will blow over. Well, you really think so? No. What historically, what have we seen since January? It's gotten worse almost every month. And it's time to say, we resist. We're not going to be part of this.
Yeah, it's not like a weather storm. This is this is something imposed by human beings, and that we as other human beings need to stop. We've got a couple more callers. We've got Joe from Madison. I always like taking Joe's calls.
Great discussion, as always. Just really interesting territory, and I applaud you for starting this march. And there was a previous caller who said we have to make sure in terms of symbols of the flag or the cross, that they don't belong to one group. They belong to all of us, and all of us get to share in the meaning of those symbols. And I just wanted to throw into the mix, it's not quite pertinent, but in some ways it is. And I remember a story from the early days of protest of the Vietnam War that there were a very small group of women, I think they were from another Mother for Peace, who early in like 64, 65, in wintertime, they were out around the White House protesting with their signs against the Vietnam War. And the story is that Dr. Benjamin Spock saw them out in winter with their boots on, carrying their signs, obviously cold and not a pleasant activity. And he was kind of, if you will, almost shamed into the idea of if these gals can get out there and, make themselves known about closing the agony of this particular war, well, I, with where I am and what I have, can risk, if you will, all the attention I have at this point, because he was known as the baby doctor, to protest this war. So I offer it as you just don't know what's going to turn other people, what's going to make people go, okay, this really is enough, and I have to pick up a flag and start marching too. So anyway, I applaud you for the idea of this, and I'll be there. Thanks very much.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, terrific call, Joe. And I mean, it's true. I mean, as Joe was saying, I mean, Howard Zinn always taught us, Howard Zinn, the author of A People's History of the United States, mm-hmm. you never know who you're going to influence when you're protesting. Yeah. But if you don't protest, you're not going to make any change. You have no hope of making change. And that's why this is such an exciting rally and march that our guest here, David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison, is doing on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with a huge cross. It's an interfaith march. People of all faiths and no faiths are invited to attend, as I am, as I will be attending. And so that's, I think, a really important rally. I hope everyone will come who's in range of Madison. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we have another caller. Cam from Appleton is on the line. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thank you. So I was calling because I am wondering if you guys can offer some advice. I see right now in Rockland County, New York, where there is a lawsuit that's trying to go forward right now regarding the data from the 2024 election, possibly having it been manipulated. And it's leaning pretty heavily data-wise into, yes, it was manipulated. But the courts right now are entertaining or hearing out the motion to dismiss that was brought forward by the Rockland County Election Commission, in which they state, well, we don't need to really investigate this, even though you show evidence of it, because the election's over. You had 10 days after the election to contest this per our rules. So when a system like that fails people, what do you guys recommend people do to change that or try to progress it or strong arm it? Because
yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate the call, Cam. You know, what we need to do right now is oppose these policies of the Trump administration that are so cruel. That is, those of us who are at liberty, and I mean liberty, to protest these changes. Because if you're an undocumented person, your risk of protesting is astronomically higher than mine. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm white-skinned. The odds that I'm going to be abducted by ICE and sent to a prison, either in Alligator Auschwitz or in who knows, El Salvador, are pretty slim. But if you're undocumented, you've got a lot of risk. So I understand if you're not going to want to protest. The rest of us who are citizens have an obligation, I believe, to protest. And that's why I have Chief Cooper, David Cooper, Reverend Cooper here, because he's planning this protest on August 2nd at 11 o'clock in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest. We've got another call. I appreciated that call, Cam. We've got a call from Mike from Muscadet. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate the dialogue and understand that there's some issues with abortion, and I'd like to address the Reverend in regards to abortion. And it states in the Bible that the Lord hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I'd like to have a little rebuttal with the Reverend in regards to that. How could he speak out of both sides of his mouth and call himself a Reverend? And I want to ask the other thing, too.
Well, certainly. Well, I believe it's a woman's choice. And I think from that, there are a number of restrictions that I'll buy into regarding, choosing babies' gender or late-term abortions or things. I believe that these are things that can be worked out by the medical community. So, you know, we're not going to agree on this, but that's how I see the goodness of what I believe in my faith. Now, you may see that entirely different, and you know, can we hold these two things in opposite and still collaborate on other issues? I think that would be the challenge for us. I would hope we could do that.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, there are also, and I'm not a biblical scholar like the Reverend is here, but there's love thy neighbor and welcome the stranger into your home. There are other passages in the Bible that speak more directly to the issues that are at hand right now, especially with this war on immigrants that Donald Trump is waging. And it's one of the reasons, one of the causes for which the Reverend Cooper is planning this rally on August 2nd in Madison. 11 o'clock at Library Mall on State Street, marching up to the Capitol with the big wooden cross. He and others there will be helping to carry, and everybody is invited, not just Christians. It's interfaith, not just people who believe. You know, I'm the resident atheist Jew here on the air, and I'm delighted to be participating.
Well, good thing is God still loves all of us.
Well, I'll take that as insurance.
right, exactly. So maybe some sparks will come from people coming together, and we'll be moved to do other things. You know, people say, well, why the cross? Well, then do something not with the cross, but with the same issues, like that where we certainly, as human beings, we should be opposed to cruelty, and especially cruelty to children. And, you know, I always thought that as a young boy growing up in America, I remember studying the UN was just being formed in the 50s. And I remember thinking that this is really good that our government is doing something like this to helping other people in the world. And isn't that a great national policy that people will see that we're good people and we try to help people. So we dig wells and we send food to people who are starving, and we give medical treatment, and we share our technology. I think, gosh, isn't that really good? Isn't that what people of faith, not just people, good people do for other people?
We're not doing it now, though.
No, hey, we're not doing that now. Yeah.
We've got a couple minutes. I wanted to start the conversation, and if you can just stay after the break to finish it. We got a call from Gary from Madison, or a text wanting you to talk about what ICE is doing, and I had teased this for the last half hour and haven't gotten to pose the question to you. So just briefly, until the break, what was your reaction? What's your reaction to what ICE is doing, for one?
Well, it's outrageous. I run a blog. I've done this for 12, 13 years, called improvingpolice.blog. I've got over 1,600 posts. The last few have been about ICE. This is, if there was, in my perspective of being in criminal justice and being in policing for 33 years of my life, this is the dismantling of the democracy. This is how it starts. When we permit people with arrest powers to go masked, unidentifiable, and arrest people without due process, we've got a real, real bad problem. Now, granted, there's things that could happen to make immigration better, and I certainly strongly believe a person who comes in our country to commit a crime ought to go back, but we need to care for the people who are here seeking refuge.
We'll be right back with Chief Cooper, Reverend Cooper. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by Angela Lang. Number to call, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Department of Justice sent letters to 12 secretaries of state requesting their complete voter records as part of President Trump's executive order on elections. The reason for the request isn't completely clear, nor is the legality of such a request, which may violate the privacy and free speech rights of U.S. citizens. Back in May, we reported that DOJ requested records on Colorado's 4.65 million registered voters. To date, similar letters have been received by Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. An email sent to Rhode Island officials asked to collect, quote, voting information as part of the department's efforts to implement President Trump's executive order preserving and protecting the integrity of American elections, unquote. It goes on to request a discussion on sharing information to find illegally registered voters, fraudulent voters, and enforcement of federal law. New Hampshire Secretary of State declined, citing state statute keeping voter rolls, quote, private and confidential. In addition to the Herculean logistics of such a request, Loyola Marymount Law School's Justin Levitt writes that such requests may not be legal under the Privacy Act of 1974, prohibiting the federal government from obtaining information on free speech activities, including voting and other personal information. We've linked the DOJ letters at America.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Well, Maggie's up north camping. I'm here in studio. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by my guest host, Angela Lang. And our guest for this hour, who's been nice enough to stay all hours, David Cooper, a former chief of police in Madison and a Episcopal reverend, a spiritual leader here in Madison. He's planning a rally on August 2nd. At 11 a.m. in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with the big cross, trying to recapture the cross, confront Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, denounce Trump administration policies of cruelty, and affirm some positive values of truth and justice and love. Who could be against that? And we are talking a little bit about the former chief's attitude about what he saw in Los Angeles with ICE and in the Marines. I didn't ask you about the Marines. What was your reaction when Trump sent the Marines in?
Let me just say, I'm part of a group of five other people or four other people in putting this together. It's not all about me, but I'm not championing today this issue, but yes, you're talking to a former Marine here. My days in the Marine, we were not trained to deal with civic disorder. Mm-hmm. In many cases, state National Guards have been they have been trained, but to put combat Marines in Los Angeles is just another political act to enrage people and to fear, get people to be afraid. I think that, I think the former chief of Los Angeles in a recent article talked about that the whole way of working together, it just isn't there. And he was saying that, well, as a military person, you say to your partner, you say, cover me means you shoot anything that moves so you can move.
when we in police say cover me, it means just watch out for my back as I'm moving here.
There could be some bad miscommunication.
And
there
could be some bad miscommunications. And just it's not organized to do that. I mean, that's generally, you know, the Civil National Guard, which would have been nice to have in Washington on January 6th.
Yeah, that's the irony. Yeah. I heard Secretary Holman the other day talking about how great all the ICE employees are. And I wanted to get your reaction because I was reading an article that said a lot of the folks employed by ICE have been not able to become police officers.
Yeah. After our Sunday assembly, we had a group of us got together talking about people who are going to come and help us during the march. And the question was, you know, she said, why are they masked? And I said, well, there's probably two reasons they're masked. Number one and the obvious one is that they don't want to be identified. And why don't they want to be identified could be the second reason, because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what's going on. It is beyond I'm just shocked by the idea that we could allow somebody to do arrests with masks on, without a uniform, without an identification, without a rule like we've had in local policing that when you're asked, you have to identify yourself and present credentials. That is, it's a real bad sign. And I think that you'll find, if I could do a study of the recent people hired by ICE, I think you'll find my hypothesis would be there are people who could not be hired by police or are fired police officers for misconduct. And now they're rounding up vulnerable people in our country. It is, to me, it's a kind of a Ku Klux Klan. Those are people who ran masks because they didn't want to be identified and did things in which they would probably be embarrassed about.
Mm-hmm. Chief Cooper, you are 87 years old. What keeps driving you to stay involved in this search for justice?
Well, the good Lord has given me health, so I think as long as I'm able to stay vertical, I'll be out there and still continuing to write a blog and press about what I think policing should be in a democracy, and I'll continue to do that. That blog has had 750,000 views over the last 12, 13 years, from 134 different countries, 1,600 posts now. So it's.
And what's the title of the blog again?
Improvingpolice.blog.
Okay, there you go.
And today is all about masked police.
Mm. Mm. So if you're listening, you can go to that. I want to reiterate that the Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, and his colleagues, cohorts, are planning this very important rally on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, in Madison, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest against Trump's cruelty and authoritarianism, against Christian nationalism, and in favor of peace and justice and love and protecting the earth. All positive things. Chief, thanks so much for being in the studio all hour and spending time with your valuable insights for us on the Maggie Dawn Show.
If not now, when?
There you go. If not me, who? So there you have it. We'll be right back after the break on the Maggie Dawn Show. Angela and I will be talking with Representative Jenna Jacobson, who is running for state Senate against Howard Markline in this effort to flip the Senate to Democratic control and more responsive representation in that district and in the Assembly and state Senate here at the state Capitol. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy to take your calls, 855-752-4842 after the break, and we'll be right back.
Above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Passengers are crediting the pilot of a Delta regional jet for maneuvering to get out of the path of a B-52 bomber over the skies of Minot, North Dakota last week. That plane from Minneapolis was close to landing. The Air Force confirming the B-52 conducted a flyover at the state fair.
It wasn't broadcasting its signal, so we can't see it on publicly available radar. We don't know how close those planes got. But I spoke with passengers on board, and they say that they could see it right out their window. And we hear the pilot on the announcement say that it was coming right at them, and he had to make that, quote, aggressive maneuver to get away.
ABC's Sam Sweeney. National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard announced on social media the release of 230,000 files related to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It includes details of the FBI's investigation and convicted killer James Earl Ray. Actor Malcolm Jamal Warner has died. Police in Costa Rica say the 54-year-old drowned due to a high current in the water. This is ABC.